Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Infinity Pods. We're finally at the episode where I can finally do a one shot that I've been promising the past couple of episodes on my social media. Basically, this podcast is my first of its type where I'm focusing just on one film. So the film I've chosen, it was actually going to be Tron Legacy. I watched it the other week. With my fiance. It's the first time my fiance has seen it, actually. She absolutely loved it. I forgot how good it is. And just talking to people about it, it has no right to be as good as it is. The visuals, the music speaks for itself. I'm really looking forward to see what they do with the third one. I know that's in development now with Disney, so let's see what happens there. And I was going to do... I was thinking about doing a Nightmare on Elm Street, the 1984... original by Wes Craven, but I decided against that. So I think that'd be a good one to do around Halloween time, because Halloween I've got planned. I want to do a full month of horror films, but we'll leave that for them. So today's one is going to be about what everyone's talking about at the moment, and the internet's going crazy about it, which is Zack Snyder's Justice League. Really, a film that should not exist. In its current format, by no means. I think this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this, where fans have actually got behind a film or a director's cut and said, "No, we want this. We don't want whatever Joss Whedon put out." And you know, it was. You could clearly see something was there, but someone else came in and finished it just for the sake of a studio. Or whatever else was going on. I'm not going to make any assumptions because there's been a lot of things flying about around Joss Whedon's treatment of, you know, the way he treated women on the set, the way he treated Ray Fisher. A lot of controversy there. Don't really want to get into that though, because I don't feel we need to be focusing on that negative energy with all that. I think what we really need to be focused on here is the accomplishment of what Zack Snyder has done here with his version of Justice League. To start us off, it is a long film. It is an arse-numbingly long film. The last thing I watched that was so long was The Irishman, which was 3.5 hours long. But again, The Irishman didn't feel 3.5 hours long to me anyway. It felt more like 2 hours. The only thing I could compare this to in lengthwise is the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings. Still, again, best edition. When you watch Lord of the Rings, there's really no point watching the basic ones. You go for the extended editions. I think it's the same here. The Joss Whedon version of Justice League, because it is more or less his version. You can say it was directed by Zack Snyder, but partially, I'd say it was 10% directed by him. The rest of it was just rubbish, if I'm going to be totally honest. This is the definitive version. I'm really hoping we get a 4K release of it. I'd love to have this in my collection. Even if they could do a special edition or a steelbook. I'd love to see the behind the scenes footage as well. With Zach going back in and, you know, the process of, you know, going back in there and, you know, the editing and the visual effects. I really do think that this accomplishment can be shared, though, not just with Zach and his family, but with the fans of Justice League and DC and just superhero films in general and just movies in general. I mean, like I said earlier, there's really nothing else that has come close to what's happened here. I have never known a film to be brought back to life for the will, sheer will of a fan base and wanting to see it, the real version, the version we were promised. And by God, that version is amazing. It is utterly amazing. Yes, there are scenes in there which, you know, they're a bit long-winded. The scene where we first meet the Flash, Barry Allen, how he's introduced, where he saves the last from a car. The car exploded and everything. That was a bit long-winded and I really didn't understand the hot dog thing. Well, I understood it, but I didn't know why it was there. Really weird. There are still some really weird choices in there, or some very clear Snyderisms, if you want to call them. I mean, I'll be honest, the film could have still been 2 hours longer if there weren't such the amount of slow-mo in it. But again, that's you, if you see Zack Snyder's name on a poster with a film, you know what to expect. You expect gorgeous visuals. You expect amazing cinematography. I mean, I love how his films are shot. His films are comic books coming off the page, like literally coming off the page. I know you can say this about, you know, like the Marvel films are great. I don't like it when we compare Marvel against DC because they're not the same. Marvel have got their formula. It works. It clearly works. I'm hoping Endgame comes back out again to stop Avatar off the top. So let's be honest, at the end of the day, the only company that's laughing is Disney, because they own both of them. But DC, his films, Zack Snyder's films, they really do jump off the bat. I mean, going back to one of his first big ones, 300, that's still a great film. You've got Sucker Punch, a bit of a diamond in the rough, really. Not a lot of people like it, from what I can gather, but I find it enjoyable. I can't watch it a lot, probably once every few years. I actually do a watch of that, to be honest. And speaking of Watchmen, I think that is severely overlooked. I don't know. I don't think it's spoken or talked about enough of how good that film is and how it's shot, and the characters in that. It's just, absolutely fantastic. I'm actually still wanting to watch the HBO show that they brought out, because that's a continuation of it. But yeah, we've had Man of Steel. I really liked Man of Steel. I thought that was a really good take on Superman. I don't know what the qualms were with why there was so much destruction. I mean, it was a new Superman, a young Superman. You know, people complained there was too much destruction, he wasn't saving enough people. I sort of went in the way of, I understood why, if that's what they were going for, because he's new, he doesn't, you know, he's just focused on one thing. While the Superman we got in Batman v Superman, we got all that saving. There was actually, people forget, there was actually a montage in there, a good 2 or 3 minute montage of him saving people, you know, the rocket blowing up, him dragging the tanker over the ice, just all that, all those sort of things we got. Batman v Superman has its own problems. One, it's too long-winded for me personally. It's way too long and it's too convoluted. I mean, at the end of the day, we just wanted Batman and Superman go against each other, but to have this Lex Luthor elaborate plan and then Doomsday, and then, you know, to set up Justice League, and then you've got Superman dying. There's literally any one of those points you could make an entire film of by themselves, and it was all crammed into one. Don't get me wrong, the action's still amazing. I mean, we got the introduction of Wonder Woman. I mean, what a badass introduction for Wonder Woman in that film. Absolutely stellar. Goosebumps every time, especially when that music kicks in. But regardless of all those, we're here for Justice League. So, Justice League, well, Zack Snyder's Justice League, but I'm just going to call it Justice League just so I don't have to keep mentioning it every time. It is an achievement, like I've said. It's long, but it's split into parts. It's split into six parts, six or seven actually. I only watched it the last night, and I can't remember how many parts it was split. I think it was six. Oh no, there was six parts, and then there was an epilogue, I think, if I remember correctly. So there's a good set there where you can stop. You know, if you want to watch, the first one, part one, part two. You know, and then you can watch the rest on another day. Or if you're like me, you can't wait, you ain't got the patience of a saint, you want to watch it all in one go, or you just generally you want to experience it in its entirety, watch it fully. The aspect ratio threw me off at first, literally for the 5 minutes, but then like the cinema. And I remember the old I remember when I was little as well, I used to hate it when our VHS tapes, the films were shot in a 4:3 widescreen aspect ratio, so basically the big black letterbox bars. Most of you probably know about them or remember them. I used to hate that because to me it's like, well, thank you for that film. You know, I want to watch your film. I want to see what's going on. And my screen, you know, I've got a nice big screen and I can't see most of it because it's just black. Normally, I see it as pretentious half the time because it's, you know, it's to do with the you know, the artistic vision of the film or how it wants to be shot. But no, I think it really works because it is the normal IMAX aspect ratio, and you can really tell it's shot in IMAX with some of those shots. And it looks gorgeous. The film really does look gorgeous. They've done a fantastic job of deconstructing scenes from the original Justice League that didn't work. Some scenes have kept in. I mean, whether they were Joss Whedon shots or not, you know, we don't know. But some shots you can definitely tell were Joss Whedon. The whole thing with "Do you bleed?" with Superman, any close-ups basically of Superman's face, where he says something completely stupid, are gone. I mean, the stupid. I don't know why that was included. That's Joss Whedon for you, I guess. And with his quip, I mean, to have Superman on a mobile, opening up with a mobile phone and Superman saying what's the best thing in the world or whatever, stupid thing he says with his fake little upper lip is ridiculous. But on this one, it's a direct continuation from BVS with the scream of Superman, which was really nice because it harkens back to what Lex Luthor says and says the bell has been rung, you know, the god is dead, you know, they can hear it. He's coming, you know. It that really sets it up nicely. And a lot of people look at this, and especially from the trailers, and don't expect a lot of Darkseid in here. When he does appear, seriously, they've got it at the same level as Thanos. When Thanos was on screen, you could tell he was a big bad bastard, basically. You know, you were scared of him. And it's the same with Darkseid here. They've used him really, really well. And they've teased him, but you still get enough of him, if that makes sense. You know, the only thing I didn't like, there was only one bit. And I'm sure, I mean, we'll get on to if they make the next one. But they didn't, there was one shot, I believe, where he used his Omega Beams. This is kind of like Darkseid, like big, like if you basically want to lock onto, you're dead. I think you get disintegrated or something. But I thought really striking visuals when he hits the Atlantean. And I thought from the trailer, it looks like it cut him in half. But when you actually see it, his flesh and his skin peel away and it just leaves his skeleton. And I think that's terrifying. The fact that when in these films, you know, people get disintegrated and like the body's just gone, that's it. But there's something really unnerving, the fact that it just leaves your skeleton behind, like just a reminder, like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do to you. So that was really imposing. And just the way, I love the way that they had that basically interstellar FaceTime thing, that big metal block. That was really striking. And I loved how they built him up because you see him in a flashback early in the film. So originally in the other one, West, it's normally Steppenwolf that comes to Earth, smashes his hammer down and starts, you know, attacking. It's this one, it's Darkseid that comes down, and you only see him for a few minutes, if that. He basically gets his ass handed to him. He really does. Zeus, I think it's Ares actually, that plants an axe into his shoulder and he has to get dragged away, and it's like, holy shit, you know, I wasn't expecting to see Darkseid like that. It's kind of a thing. I don't think Marvel did it a few times. Like, if you actually think about it, Marvel, they had the balls to kill Thanos off three times on screen. So you had him die. You had him die by Gamora, which I know was a fake, obviously. But for a split second, you thought he was dead. Then you had Thor kill him, start of Endgame. And then you also have, you know, him actually dying properly. Well, second time properly at the end of Endgame. And that's still the only film where I'm thinking, you know, they've killed the same guy twice in one film, and that's mad. But Darkseid in this, really, when he shows up, it's a treat. I'm really hoping, from what they're going to do, hopefully, it's one of the reasons why I've put this out today. I really want people to get behind the Restore the Snyderverse. It's something that you'll understand when you watch Justice League. The runtime may be 4 hours, but you are still wanting more at the end of that. I really hope we can get this going and we can have the trilogy that Zack's looking at, and that's his original villain, because it is meant to be a trilogy. I love the way it's going. It's something really different. It's not. I hope they do the Injustice storyline, which looks like that's possibly what they're doing. If you don't know Injustice, I'm not going to explain it here. Go play the games. Go read the comics. Injustice 2 is probably one of the best fighters out there. On consoles, go play that. It's brilliant. But considering that, I was quite surprised with the amount of gore in it. The scenes where people, like I said, get disintegrated, There's people getting chopped in half. I think Steppenwolf chops an Atlantean in half. The Atlanteans really aren't getting good in this film. But yeah, I think he chops somebody in half at one point. You see Darkseid cut off the hand of a Green Lantern and the ring flies away. When Ares plants his axe in Darkseid, is the blood that comes out, like, holy shit, I knew it said a 15, it said blood and gore, but like, it's nice to see something like that in, like, I hope this makes sense, in main superhero films where you're seeing like Batman and Superman, but you don't normally get the gore along with that. It's normally the off screen or it's implied or you just don't see it at all. But here it goes full, like, yeah, this is what would happen if a god planted an axe in this being. This is what would happen. And I love that. There's a sense of realism there. Again, I know they're not all real, but it makes the film that much more visceral. So from Darkseid, we'll go just characters briefly. I think everyone gets a fair share. Apart from the Flash, I think the Flash is still underdone, but I think because we know we're going to get a solo film out of him, that's going to be more left for his solo film, which again, I'm looking forward to. I mean, I think it's gone a bit quiet, I think, due to the pandemic, but really hoping we get everything that's being promised there. I mean, if you don't know, go look up on the news. Some great, great casting, if it's true. I think the biggest one, which everyone's enjoying, and I personally enjoyed, was Ray Fisher's Cyborg. I mean, it made it feel like the heart of the film, his story, the way he flushed him out properly. I mean, Joss Whedon did an absolutely chopped and absolutely destroyed his storyline, in the first one. And Zack Snyder, you could tell he wanted, there's a certain way he wanted Cyborg, and we got him. And again, as well, just everything with him and his dad, the relationship then, and then his dad ends up, not surviving, shall we say. I'm not going to tell you how that happens. Again, a lot of this, spoilers but non-spoilers, but it th things happen. Things happen in this one that don't happen in the just other one. That do happen probably, but it's never confirmed. Supes as well. Supes is great in this. Supes is basically, not in it for the first. I think he's not in it until 2 hours, maybe, possibly 2.5 hours, until they actually resurrect him. But Henry Cavill really gets a chance to shine. There's more of a heartfelt reunion with Lois and his mum. So some really, really nice shots there. And again, let's talk about the Black Superman. So, I mean, just to have that, see that properly done on screen, and why that was omitted from the original one, I do not know. Again, I don't know what was going through their heads. It's the moment to have the black. You're not going to get any other chance to do the black suit, so why aren't you doing it? But Zach, obviously, he knows his comic books. He's done it here, and by God, I actually prefer. I think it looks as good, if not better, as is, red and blue suit. Henry Cavill, I mean, when the fight at the end is still more or less the same, but you see, there's still a bit of when Superman goes against Steppenwolf, he pounds on him like quite viciously, and I think he cuts half his head off or his horn. I know, I think it's his horn. And for me, that was quite a step back. Like, oh, hold on a minute, I know he's good, but there's still a bit of Superman there where I'm like, is he playing with a full deck of cards? It's not entirely. I think they're setting him up quite well because he's on that cusp of, if anything else like drastically emotionally happens to him, he could tip. And I think that's where it's going with the nightmare sequence. Which, let's talk about that. The nightmare sequence at the end. Now, the nightmare sequence of the past one was stuck right in the middle of the film. And that's all we had. But here we've got an extra bit at the end, which is, I'd say, because I was actually thinking about this morning, I think it's the best portrayal or the best exchange of the Joker and Batman on screen. Now, I had to think long and hard about this because obviously we've had Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton in 1989's Batman. Again, that was very comic booky, very, that very very much a Tim Burton film. But I couldn't think of any exchange in that film where it was like, oh my God, that's like, you could tell this, I know they've met for the first time in that film, but you still want to get a sense of there's a history behind them, because that's what it's all been about. Basically, Joker and Batman, it's a twisted relationship. It always has been. Same with The Dark Knight as well. I was thinking more along, the only exchange that I could really think of is when they're in the interrogation scene and Batman's interrogating the Joker. But again, there was no history there. Again, yeah, he's just met him for the first time. He doesn't know who he is, but again, like I said, it's not, there's such a rich backstory behind both of them. I feel you need to have that on screen. You need to have a presence of that on screen. You could actually count Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, where he meets Bruce Wayne. Now, that is actually my favourite scene in the film, where he comes up to Wayne Manor and meets Bruce Wayne for the first time, literally just because of it's just the acting, the score, just everything about that scene is just mesmerising. But I didn't really want to count that, because he's not Batman yet. Let's be—he's just a little lad. But in here, because things have happened, and I do like Jared Leto's Joker in this one. Really, unlike most people, it was—I don't know what he was playing at in Suicide Squad. But again, we don't know, because he said he shot an entire film's worth apparently, and you know that never saw the light of day, and a lot of it was cut. But so I think we'll never know. If we get an eye cut, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But I think he turned it back, and I think he really looked at the character, and you could tell, because the exchange between Batman and the Joker at the end of this film is like seeing that, it's a real treat, and you're like, oh my god, you know, they have to make a second one, because I just want to see, even if it's just a little threaded storyline that goes through, I want to see what happens. Yeah, this is one bit I'm not going to spoil at all. This is one you really have to watch for yourselves. But that exchange is, look forward to it. When you're watching it, look forward to it. But other than look at it this way. The 2017 Justice League is 2 hours. This one's 4 hours. So when people, I've seen a lot of comments saying it's just the same film. I don't know what film they watched. Personally, I think they watched the wrong one. You can't say it's the same film when there's basically 2 hours of extra content added on. You basically added another film onto this. So when people are saying, oh, it's the same film, or yeah, it didn't do much for me. Like, I agree if they're saying it didn't do much for you, but I don't agree that it's the same film. Don't think that's a fair point to ask or to say, really, because it's not the same film. Completely different. The tone's different. The style's different. You get the opening shot straight away. You could tell, like, this is not the same Justice League. This is going to be something different. And it is. And I think that's where I want to leave it for this one. It's not as long as I've wanted to have for my first one shot. But there's so many things at play here that I think you need to watch it for yourself. And after you've watched it, I'm sure you'll be the same as me. Wherever you are, social media or anything, we need to get the Restore the Side of Us going. I'm sure Warner Brothers are looking at it and thinking, let's see how it does, you know, because that must be on the back of their minds, you know, if it does well, you know. And I, instead of being out in the cinema, I'd actually love to see it on streaming like they've done this, where they're allowed to do it on a much longer film. Do it in parts and keep it the same consistency. I mean, a lot of people might complain about the aspect ratio, but I think if they have that throughout all the Justice League films, that'll really make them stand, like, not that it doesn't stand out already, but it really make them stand out, like, when you watch, oh, that's Justice League, and it sets a precedent for a different type of superhero film, because at the end of the day, this is what these films are. They're superhero films. Some people paint a nice big coat of paint, red paint over them, saying, yep, they're all the same. Fundamentally, they're all the same, but it's the stories, it's the characters, it's everything else that makes them different, because you can't tell me Avengers Endgame is not the same film as Justice League, well, this Justice League. It's not the same. They are completely different, you know, and you can say, well, you can't compare them, really. I can compare them, because that's what I'm here to do. That's I could compare anything. We could compare Nightmare on Elm Street with 500 Days of Summer. I'm only saying that because they're the two soundtracks in front of me. But still. somewhere I could find a link between them, because that's what we all do. I mean, we've all been in the we've all had our English lessons where the English teacher gets an absolute hard on for, you know, finding out why Shakespeare used red curtains with a white chair. But, you know, we've all been there. We've all written an assignment on that. So it's the same with film. Everyone will find something different with them. But just to end on this, I'd say go watch it. Listen to this and go watch it. Or come back and listen to this, you know, and I'd love to hear thoughts. It's where, again, these podcasts are all about. I want the talking. I want the discussion there. Talk about it. The more we talk about it, the more people are gonna say, yeah, it's trending. I mean, it will be trending. I think it is trending anyway. But yeah, go watch it, guys. It's available. The only ones I know, HBO Max in America. For the UK, I know it's on Sky Cinema. Just a little bonus, actually, because I actually thought we'd have to pay for it, like the other ones where they've come out early, but I loved that it was free. The fact that I could just download it straight away and play it. I mean, it's sitting there right now. I don't think I'm never going to get rid of it on my recordings until it comes out on 4K, to be honest. It's going to sit there. But that's where you can watch it at the moment. Again, I hope they bring it out on home release. I'm sure they will, with hopefully a few more extra stuff, because there are talks as well that the set photos that we've seen of Joker in like this prison cell sort of thing, and there's an exchange between him and Batman, that's not actually in the film. That's actually an alternative cut that they've said if they do a home release, they'll probably put it in there as like a special feature. So we'll see what happens there. But again, guys, thanks for listening. First one shot. Glad I've finally done this. Hopefully, though, my next few episodes, it's going to be a two or three week gap, just because we might have a special guest on to talk about her films, but we'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted. But thanks very much, guys. Take care.